Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
If you have your Bibles, turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and then we're going to go to Mark chapter 16. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgments. And then Mark chapter 16, I'm going to begin in verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you did it before, you'll do it again. God, in your word, you said in the last days, you're going to pour out your spirit in such a way that young men and women will prophesy. Lord, that there will be mighty works. Lord, there will be a great harvest. We know your scripture tells us. And God, your word tells us that those who go and preach the gospel, those who believe, that these are the signs that will follow. And one of those signs is that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God, I'm asking you to do it today. I'm asking you to do it again. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes and ears. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, that you would stir us, that you'd set us on fire to be believing believers, to be believing believers today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. In fact, why don't you just say that? I'm a believing believer. Come on, one more time. I'm a believing believer. Amen. Amen. You said it. You're a believing believer. What does that mean? That means that you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. And then you get to journal it. You get to get your testimony journal and write it down when it happens so that you won't forget it. You know, and I don't live with regrets, but if I did, I would have one that I didn't write down in my testimony journal, all the testimony that God has done in the last 30 years of ministry in my life. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit remembers it all. And as you're actively writing testimonies down that are happening now, he'll remind you, like he did for me this week, of all the miracles, all the things that God has done. Like there's so many. I mean, I understand the gospel writers. It's like Jesus did so many miracles, so many things that we couldn't, like all the libraries in the world couldn't keep track of all the things that he did. And I think of my own life, I'm like, I can't even keep track. There's so many things, but I want to start keeping track because God deserves the glory. Jesus deserves to be famous in my heart, in my mind, and in all the relationships in my life. And as I read those stories, they only build my faith to go, God, you did it before. You'll do it again. If you raised the dead in my life and you used me to pray for people who were dying and on their deathbed and they came back to life, I mean, what is this little debt? What is this little need that I'm praying for right now? What is this little headache? And guess what? That little headache matters. You know what? He knows the number of hairs on your head. Every detail matters to your God. Every challenge, every problem matters. He knows it and he cares. This is our God. And this is what you need to believe that. You know, sometimes I know you go, oh, well, it's just such a small thing. I mean, God, he's so busy. I don't want to bother him with it. Look, God counts the hairs on your head. Does that matter? For some of you, it's like, yeah, it matters. But really, those details, this is what he's saying is that you matter. And every detail of your life matters to God. Why wouldn't that thing that's on your mind and heart and burden matter to him? Nothing's too small and nothing's too big for our God. Amen? All right, so Hebrews chapter 6. The writer of Hebrews here lays out the six elementary or foundational principles of Christianity, of Christ. And he says, look, man, we need to go on to perfection, but you can't go on to perfection without these fundamentals. You know, there's going to be some football games today and the next week and a Super Bowl. And when you look at the stats after a game, so many times it comes down to the execution of the fundamentals. Fumbling the ball, the interceptions, the missed hikes, all the little special teams, those little plays make a big difference. And if you haven't built your life on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's your rock. He's the foundation of our life. See, we didn't build our life on just Jesus is my Savior. We built our lives upon Jesus is my Lord.
Really good.
And then he's my Savior. Okay? Or at least he's your Savior and then is immediately your Lord. But the first principle that the writer of Hebrews says is elementary, but so many times people don't even know what real repentance is. And you don't just repent once. It's something you do all the time. Because repentance is to change the way you think. Because the way you're thinking is the wrong way. Imagine this. You're going in the wrong direction. You have a destiny. You have a place you want to get. And you're going in the wrong direction. And to repent would be to come to the conclusion, this is not the right way. And once you realize this isn't the right way, you get to repent and start going the right way. And so repentance is needed because we think wrong. And we constantly need to repent of the way we're thinking and start thinking right. And we've talked in the past months of how important the right way of thinking is and how powerful negative thoughts are, right? And so to repent would be to change a negative thought to a positive thought, to overcome that, because negative thoughts are taking you in the wrong direction. And negative actions and sinful actions are taking you in the wrong direction. And to repent is to get going in the right direction. Amen? And then it says faith in God. And number two, foundational principle, faith in God. And now here's important. Man, everyone says, just have faith. No. It's not have faith in your faith. It's your faith in God. Okay, faith is important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it's not your faith in your faith that saves you. It's your faith in God that saves you. It's your faith in the power of God that gets you out of your situations. It's your faith in God that makes all things new. And then the foundational principle of baptisms. Not baptism, baptisms. Okay, there's many different baptisms. One most important one is that you're baptized into Christ, not with water, but with being born again. See, when you gave your life to God, you were baptized into Christ. You are now in him. And then we had John's baptism, which we don't do anymore because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance that prepared people to be able to see Jesus. But after we're born again, after we're baptized into Christ, now we get baptized into water. We get baptized into water. Why? So we bury our old. But here's the amazing thing about baptism. We're not just burying our old. We're burying any time our old nature resurrects itself. Okay? We're putting it back down under the water. Okay? Because the devil wants to resurrect your old nature. And you got to put it back down. Okay, you got to put it back down. And it's through that baptism of water. No, not bury. That's not who I am. Because you don't have a sin problem, church. Okay, you might think you do, but it's not what's true. Your problem is identity. Your old nature tries to pop up and tell you who you are. But no, no, you tell them that's what I used to be. That used to be who I was. And then you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, about how this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus himself was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus didn't need to be born again, right? He never sinned. He never made a mistake. But he was water baptized. Did he need it? No, but he wanted to show us we would need it. But Jesus did need something. And that's a paradox. How does God need something? Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed to get away in prayer to get refilled by the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come on. You definitely need it. Tell your neighbor, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so there's the foundational principles of baptisms. But today we're going to talk about the foundational principle of the laying on of hands. The doctrine of the laying on of hands. Now let me tell you, the devil is always perverting. He's always distorting. The devil cannot create anything. He can only pervert. And even this idea of the laying on of hands, he has perverted. How many young people, through the improper laying on of hands, are struggling with their identity today? Are struggling even with their own sexuality today? 99.9%, I think 100% of people I've ministered to that have struggled with their identity and sexually, their sexual identity, have had impure, wicked hands laid on them. Almost 100, in my testimony, 100% of the time. Why? Because it's powerful. It's a conduit. It's a conduit that we have. And what the enemy wants to do, and even through this COVID, was keep distance. Definitely no longer shake hands. Look, we got plenty of hand sanitizer everywhere, okay? Shake somebody's hand and go get some hand sanitizer, okay? Why? Because if you don't have meaningful, loving touches, you get weird. You get unhealthy. That's why. The laying on of hands. It's a foundational principle, along with baptisms, you guys. I mean, you wonder, like, was I supposed to be baptized? Of course you know that. Faith in God, it's right there. It's number 4 of the 6 foundational principles. The laying on of hands. Because it matters. Let's look at Jesus' ministry. And before we do, let me give you these 5 in case I don't get to them. But the 5 purposes I found, the 5 major purposes of the laying on of hands. Number 1, supernatural miracles or signs come through the laying on of hands. The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes through the laying on of hands. The imparting of spiritual gifts comes through the laying on of hands. Commissioning, anointing, ordaining Christians for the work of ministry comes through the laying on of hands. The dedication of children, of infants, comes through the laying on of hands. The blessing. I mean, in the Old Testament, it was so understood that the father would lay his hands on his children and bless them. I mean, again, if we look at the story of wicked people who have laid their hands on children in wicked ways to curse them, to break them, we have the responsibility and the opportunity to lay holy hands, to have holy hands laid on one another, to bring healing and deliverance and purity. And yes, don't just let anybody lay hands on you. But you need hands to be laid. You do. You want things broken off your life? You want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit? You want spiritual gifts? You want anointing, blessing? Comes through the laying on of hands. This is an elementary, foundational principle, church, that we've got to get back to. We've got to empower one another. And guess how you get empowered to do it? By hands being laid on you. By the preaching of the word. And then obeying what the word says. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Even in Jesus' hometown, where he couldn't, another paradox, he couldn't perform many miracles. Guess how he did perform the few miracles that he did? Through the laying on of hands. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Now, he could not do mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. But then Mark 8, verse 22, when he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and he begged him. This blind man begged Jesus to touch him. Touch me, Jesus. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Now, praise God, the foundational elementary principle is not the spitting on one another, okay? This was an exception, and for all of you who sit in the first two rows, you regularly get anointed spit on you, okay? This is not the no splash zone right here. But don't worry, it's anointed, and I scraped my tongue this morning, and so hallelujah. Totally. So back to the passage. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Now, this is a unique passage in that this is the only time Jesus prayed twice for a miracle. And for sure, it's not because he needed it. There's something else going on. I've heard it said, and I've shared it before. Maybe Jesus was healing his spiritual eyes first. And why do I say that? Well, because the Bible says that men and women of God, we are oaks of righteousness. And what did he see? He saw trees. He saw trees. And who were they? It was Jesus standing there, and it was the disciples. He saw maybe spiritually what seemed to be trees. Or maybe he was just wanting to tell you and I, don't give up. You laid your hands and you pulled them off. And then you ask, did something happen? They go, well, I felt a little something. It feels a little looser. Guess what? Put your hands back on the shoulder. Pray again. Move it again. Don't stop. Pray without ceasing. Then in Mark chapter 7, verse 32, and when they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, they begged him to put his hand on him. Again, Jesus, put your hand. church. Jesus said we would do the things he did and even greater things. Okay? Jesus was begged to have his hands laid. Why? Because it matters. It matters. Lay your hands on me. Then he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, and he spat. Again, there it is again. He spat and touched his tongue. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. I reached back 12 years ago when I was in, and I wrote this testimony. I had the privilege of going to India for the second time and ministering with a spiritual hero, which I'm very excited to say, Brother Harry Gomes is going to be with us this summer. He hasn't ministered in America in 10 years. He's coming here. He's led over 50 million people to Jesus in his ministry. He's raised over a dozen people from the dead in his meetings, hundreds of thousands of people healed. And I went for the first time to be with him for a 5-night crusade. And on the fifth night, Atif, the fifth night, Brother Harry says, we pray for everyone. Like everyone? Not just people who, everyone. 50,000 people. And as I'm praying and thousands of people in the name of Jesus, just praying with my hand, believing that I'm a conduit and people are coming with faith, believing in that moment, just in the name of Jesus be healed. And they take the next person, in the name of Jesus be healed. And it's just coming by and my arm's getting tired, my mouth, in the name of Jesus. Thousands of people have no idea what the testimonies had, but I just believe, God, I am your conduit right now. And, and I'm just praying and believing every single time in the name of Jesus, whatever they're believing for. And there were times they say, in the name of Jesus, come out, in the name of Jesus, be whatever. And I was, but it was that fast, and they're moving by. And then all of a sudden, there was this whole family, and my interpreter was there. And I stopped and I said, what are they believing for? What are they asking for? Because they pushed forward this teenage girl, and he asked, and she, and the reply was, she's deaf, she can't hear. And then I go, you know, at the moment, I forgot the scripture and Jesus' technique here. But I thought, what would Brother Harry do in this moment? Okay, that's what I thought. I'm like, what would he do? And I'm like, I think he'd put his fingers in her ears. And so I did. I just put my fingers in her ears, and I was so moved with compassion and love. I can't even explain. My heart felt like it was going to explode out of my chest. I had so much love and compassion in this moment. And I've got my hands on her head and my fingers in her ears, and I just say, in the name of Jesus, open. As I do, her countenance just brightens, her eyes shoot up, she turns to her family, she starts talking, okay, and her family starts busting out in tears and shouting. The interpreter goes forward, and I'm standing here like all alone. They're having this like Holy Ghost, I'm going, what happened, right? Me of great faith. I'm like, what happened? Even though I asked for the ears to be open, but you know, like, really, what happened? And then I the interpreter goes, she can hear. And then me of great faith. I mean, this is the follow-up, right? It's like, so she couldn't hear at all? Like, and he's like, no, she was deaf from birth. Come on, Jesus. And then the first or second year of our church, we planted the church. There was an aunt that was in our church, and she called me, our church office, and her niece was in a coma. She had been on drugs, and she overdosed. And she was on life support. And the aunt said, would you come, please? They're not giving her much time at all to live. And so I turned to my assistant pastor, Pastor Todd. I go, Todd, we're going to the hospital. He goes, man, I don't want to go. And I'm like, dude, we're going. We're pastors. That's our job, right? And they're like, we're going. And so we start, you know, and I go, start repenting, like in the car, right? And we're driving over, and it's newly built Mercy Gilbert right over here down the road. And we're driving over. We start praying in the Spirit. And I'm like, we're going in there. And we're going to lay hands, and she's going to get well. That's what's going to happen. That's what Jesus said he would do. Yeah. But no, there won't, no but what's. God, I'm just going to take you at your word. Yeah. And we're going in, and these nurses, they weren't Christians that were there during this shift. And they weren't really excited about us going in. But we went in anyway. And I'm sitting at the foot of her bed, and she's just, it's a corpse. No life. And I grab her ankles. I don't know why. I just grabbing her ankles, and I just start praying and crying out to God and praying, resurrection, life, come alive. You're going to live and not die and testify of God's glory and his power in the name of Jesus. And it's this like glass room. So all the doctors and nurses are watching, and I'm just like, Lord, show off. Show off, God. Show off. Right? And so then I'm done. I feel the power of God. Nothing. Nothing. No movement. Nothing. Not even a blip on the radar, right? Nothing. But I'm like, she's well. She's going to live. I get out. I tell the aunt, I go, she's going to live and not die. And she's going to be fine. So we go back and we just go, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Later that day, first movement that she's had since being in the hospital. And weeks later, she's at church, gives her life to Jesus, is on stage testifying. Those are in the front row, second row, they were there. They can testify and tell you. Man, making this up. This happened. This is real. We know this year that the miracles God's done. People were dead for over 90 minutes. Dead. No heartbeat. God brought them back to life. If God did it this last year, 2020, he'll do it in 2023. But if we don't understand the foundational elementary principle of the laying on of hands. I mean, moms, you get this. The moment your son, your daughter falls down, skins his knee, you're running over to put your hands on them. I mean, we even know it instinctively. We hit our head. What do? We put our hands on our head. We skin our, oh, my knee. We put our hands there. Why? Because it matters. It matters. If just your own ability and frequency and energy and like it brings comfort, how much more when you realize the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now get this. Let me pause. You got to catch this. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Atomic, nuclear energy that went through the shroud, okay? When you study it, it took atomic energy to make that mark. Is the same power that lives inside of you and I who believe. Yes. So why wouldn't you expect that when you laid your hands on someone, that they could tap in to that power. That power that's in you could flow out of you to touch them. Again, this is what the writer of Hebrews says. This is elementary stuff. And yet, most believers don't believe it. Don't even know that they're supposed to believe it. When's the last time you laid hands on somebody and blessed them, prayed for them? Hopefully it was just earlier this morning. But if not, let me empower you. Let me inspire you. No guilt, no condemnation. Just oh yeah, I am powerful. Oh yeah, greater is he who lives in me. Oh yeah, come on, let's have an oh yeah moment together. Amen? And he's not a respecter of persons. This is not just for the elect few pastor or the evangelist pastor. This is for all of us. All of us to be released in it. Man, Mark chapter 5, another amazing story. Mark 5, 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." And Jesus is heading there and gets the report that she's dead, right? And Jesus enters the room and the people, they're crying, get out of the room, get the unbelief in. And then he took, verse 41, and he took the child by the hand. In other words, Jesus touched her. He took her by the hand and she was raised from the dead. So you know it didn't end with Jesus. Acts chapter 5 verse 12 says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people." Acts 19:11, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Yeah. Now, like, I have prayed for people. Give me a towel. Give me a towel. We're going to pray for it, and you're going to take that towel, and you're going to lay that towel on that sick person, and they're going to get well. This has happened dozens of times. And it's not about me, okay? I'm believing the Holy Spirit will remind me of the actual names and stories. But I know them, okay? And I just haven't taken time. As I'm reading this, I'm like, oh yeah, I did that too. I've done that. Why would I even think of doing that? Because it happened in the Bible. And there's something that happens. Do you understand? There's energy. There's power. It's about his virtue. It's not about your many words. That's witchcraft. You know, witchcraft is all about lining up all the words and incantations and all that junk. No, it's as simple as in Jesus' name, come out. In Jesus' name, be healed. The reality is, when you are full of power, it doesn't take long prayers to get that power out of you. See, long prayers are necessary for people who are empty. Okay, when you're empty, you need a long prayer to get filled up. So there's oftentimes I'm not full, and so people are asking for prayer, and it's the loving thing for me to say, hold on. Hold on a second. Give me 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes to pray in the Spirit, because praying in the Spirit, according to the Bible, according to Paul, who made the claim, I speak. The intellectual Apostle Paul, who all the theologians love, guess what he said? I speak in tongues more than all of you. You know how he got the revelations and all those things? Because he spoke in tongues. Maybe if you spoke in tongues more, you could write a book that people would actually read. Hey, I'm an equal opportunity offender every Sunday, okay? Not one that you're told you have to buy my book to sit in my class. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to be offensive. But it's true. The Apostle Paul said when he prayed in tongues, it built him up. Yes. It built him up. Listen, church, we're not trying to hide. We are that church. We're the church that actually just believes the Bible. That God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? That God does baptize people in the Holy Spirit and people speak in other tongues. Okay? And you can too. Okay? He's not a respecter of persons. And most of the time in the book of Acts, we see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes through the laying out of hands. Okay? Even the Apostle Paul. Do you know the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Apostles, that he had hands laid on him? Ananias. What is it? Chapter 9 of Acts. I think I wrote it down here. chapter 9 of Acts, it says after Paul had the encounter with Jesus, right, and his eyes, he's blind, he can't see. And God sends Ananias to him. Now, Ananias was just a member of the church. It wasn't like he was an apostle, an elder. Maybe he became one, but he was just a member of the church. This is normal Christianity. God speaks to his people, and then they obey him, okay? And he goes, and guess what Ananias does? He lays hands on Paul. And the scales are removed. His eyes are open. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he gets water baptized. Now, we don't know if Paul initially spoke in tongues in that moment. I think he probably did. But we know he eventually did, right? Because he made the claim that he spoke in tongues more than any other person reading his letter. And to be able to make that kind of claim, like, you got to be that far ahead, right? It's like, you got to be hours ahead of everybody else to go, nobody speaks in tongues more than me. Why? Because Paul knew where the power came from. He says it wasn't about his words. It wasn't about his persuasive speech. You know, Paul possibly would have put you to sleep. Yep. Apostle Paul was not nearly as dynamic as I am, okay? Not nearly, okay? You ain't falling asleep in my church service, okay? You know why? Because I can see you, and I'll walk right down next to you. That's why, okay? But Paul said people came because of the power of God flowing through him. One time we have a story, Paul's preaching, he's a little long-winded, he's teaching, he's so boring, the guy falls asleep, falls out of the window, he dies in his meeting from boredom. this is how awesome and amazing the Apostle Paul's preaching was. Like, he put him to sleep and he died from his boredom. But guess what? The Apostle Paul threw himself on top of the dead person. And guess what? The power that was in him went through him into that dead body. He came alive. So yes, we here at Bethel have a hands-on approach. Hands-on. Church, what if we went out into the world and we ask people, can I pray for you? And then after they say yes, and they're gonna say yes, I promise you, they're gonna say yes. 9.9, you know, times out of 10, they're gonna say yes. At least 9 out of 10, okay? They're gonna say yes. And after they say yes, you ask, can I put my hand on you? Can I put my hand on your shoulder? Maybe you should describe where you're going to put your hand on them, okay? Can I put my hand on your shoulder? And then believe God to hear your prayer and that the power of God will flow through you. And it doesn't matter if you feel it or not. There have been times my hand's been on fire and I felt this power and they felt nothing. But God answered their prayer anyway. And there's other times I laid my hand, I felt nothing. And they were like, my arm's on fire. What are you doing? Other times people were like, I felt electricity just go right through my body. Other times they were overwhelmed with the love of God. They just began crying. I mean, literally hundreds of times I've laid hands on people just praying and all of a sudden they just burst out in tears. Like, what is that? I don't have this special, like, formula. You touch a person right here, they just start flowing with tears, right? No, it's God. It's God. It's God. God lives in you. God lives in me. And one of the ways he gets out of you and into somebody else is through the laying on of hands. Do you see it, church? Can you see it in the scripture? Can you see it? I mean, I've got 10 more easily here. There's many more. I can't get it. I'm running out of time. But are you inspired? Do you believe, man, if God did it for us, he can do it for me. Pastor Preston and I just about 4 or 5 years ago, Milt had surgery, knee surgery, and then coming out of surgery, he's hiccuping, and he can't stop, which means he can't sleep because he constantly is hiccuping, and the doctor's 3 days of hiccuping. Can you imagine? I mean, it won't stop. He calls me up and he says, "Pastor, would you come pray?" I'm like, "We're coming." I grab Pastor Preston because Pastor Preston's got the gift of healing, okay? And God's given me the gift of faith, the gift of faith, the gift of healing. Boom, man, you got an explosion. And so we're driving up to Scottsdale. He's in the hospital there, and I go, "Preston, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to start praying, and the moment you pray, the hiccups are going to stop." Okay, and I just, as we're praying, this is what the Holy Spirit's showing me he's going to do. Okay, and you go, well, what if he didn't do it? Dirt, you can't what ifs. You just got to obey. Even if you miss it, by faith, God will work it out for good. Okay, but what God doesn't do is operate out of unbelief. Over and over and over again, Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you." He said, "Man, your unbelief. I could not." We read the passage in Mark 5. He couldn't do many miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief. So there we go into this hospital room, and it's this open room, and the doctors and nurses are all in the middle, and we get in there. I tell Milt, "This is what's going to happen. I'm going to start praying, and the moment Pastor Preston prays, you're going to stop. You believe that?" He goes, I believe. So we start praying, stirring up a gift, and boom, I turn to Pastor Preston. He starts praying like full volume Preston, okay? Like the doors open, the entire floor of the hospital is hearing him just booming, right? Just in the name of Jesus, da 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 da, right? I mean, like, and I'm going, you know, okay. And guess what? The moment he prayed, Milt was healed.
Come on.
20 minutes later, a nurse comes in. Milt's like, "Hey, this is my pastor. They just prayed for me, and I've stopped hiccuping." And the nurse's response was, well, let's just keep our fingers crossed. No, the only cross we're focusing is the one Jesus died on. And when he said it was finished. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.